You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for the first day of a shortened trading week, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. What on earth is going on, Nick? There's something going on. Look at the oil price. It's down about 4%. What's happening there? Let's start with that. Can we start with that? What's happening?
Start with that. Actually, it's one of those days, Lindsay. There's some wild, wild news. I mean, as you said, oil price, $2.85 down on West Texas. It's
yes.
A monster move. I wish I could pinpoint and tell you it's because of XYZ or inventories or something, but there is zero. I mean, there's a little bit of a little bit of dollar strength coming through, but then you look at the rand and you go like, well, I got that one wrong. You know the rand, Lindsay, the rand has had a 25-cent move since 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Good Lord.
It almost looked like it was breaking 15. It's down at 14.71. There's some extreme moves, and this is against the backdrop of the VIX, which hit the lowest level. 2021. So, I don't know. As I said, lots of moving parts, very exciting, but I'm a little bit lost for words with a couple of these big moves, certainly in that oil space. I have no idea. It's a big move in oil.
Where's the VIX at the moment, please? Because I'm going to have a pencil trade with you.
19.3. Let's call it traded briefly on the open at 1880.
Okay, so I could probably buy at 19.5. I'll buy the VIX at 19.5.
You can buy it exactly where it is, 19.30. You can buy it right now.
Okay, I'm buying the VIX at 19.30. This is my fantasy trade in my small little ever-decreasing circle of a world. Okay, let's have a look at the markets if we can, because as you quite rightly pointed out, the rand has been all over the place in the last 16 hours. Dollar rand is 14.73. British pound against the rand is 20.33. Euro rand is 17.49. Euro dollar, 118.75. Look at that thing. British pound against the dollar, the cable is... Let's be fair. It's 138. The gold price is $1,727, which is down nearly $10 per ounce. The platinum price is down $8 per ounce at $1,174. And palladium is where, please, Nick?
Palladium is bucking the trend. It's actually up. This shows you how mad this day is today. It's actually up $5, $2,618. So it's back above $2,600.
West Texas crude oil is down 4.7% to $58.66. Brent crude oil, which was $72 10 days ago, is now $62 or just below at $61.82, down 4.33%. What on earth is going on there? I don't know. Is it because of supply? Is it because of OPEC? Is it because of OPEC?
Look, there's been...
Go on.
I mean, there's been a lot of headlines coming across my Reuters and a few other sort of stuff we look at about, fears this new pandemic curbs. I mean, we've seen Angela Merkel shut down Germany, I think, for over Easter for 5 days.
Yes.
We saw Paris close down as well.
Well, Italy's closed down over Easter as well. So, it's a big economy.
It is a big economy. And I think you've got to say, on one hand, maybe oil ran a little bit too ahead of itself with regards to expecting the world to return to normal. But I think now we're getting a realization it's not. So, I mean, those are the headlines I'm seeing about the new pandemic, slow vaccine rollout. And of course, oil is going to suffer as the recovery doesn't sort of rate as fast as people have penciled in.
Brent crude oil, just to give you the exact price, $61.93 per barrel, which is down $2.69 on the day, down nearly 4.2%, which is, these are really, really big moves. 72 to 62, let's call it. That's a really, that's a massive percentage, Nick.
Yeah, $10. Pretty much close to, 50% down? It's a big move.
Probably. Stock Exchange News Service, how did that go today? Anything coming out?
I actually did not see a great deal, although I'll tell you now. I think there's something on ATTAC. Did we speak about it this morning?
ATTAC, the property company. Yeah, it's not one that we watch. Well, you may watch it, but I don't.
No, I didn't see a great deal coming across the wires.
Okay, in that case, I will move
on. I think there's something on Avenge, or I think they successfully had a rights issue.
Offer and debt restructure and announcement of potential follow-on renounceable rights offer. Why do these people complicate our lives so much? But anyway, the share is 4 cents. And if you divide that into dollars or euros or yen, what is that? How much is that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's literally, I'm scratching the barrel looking at 4 cent shares to try to find something on cents. I mean, that's the day it was. But yeah, no idea.
Okay. What else have you seen this afternoon? Because it's the first day of a shortened trading week. We've got Easter coming up in what, 2 weeks' time, I think it is? So I get the feeling that the market's sort of starting to position itself for a holiday. And it's almost as though people want a holiday. I don't know.
We've got Jay Powell speaking at some point today. He's also, I think he's doing some talk in front of congressional hearings, I think later on this afternoon, or he's speaking now. Also got Janet Yellen speaking as well. Yes. So there's a little bit of, I think, caution ahead of that. You've been pointing out on the show for the last week or two, you've got to watch these yield curves. Everyone's looking for Jay Powell after the Fed last week.
Yes.
You know, what are we doing with these curves? What are we going to be with inflation? And I think it's certainly the market has this churn and this feel about it that we're looking for a break one way or the other. As I said, looking at some of these assets like oil moving, you know, 4-5%, and some of these commodity prices all over the place, and some of the emerging market currencies as well, which is your proxy for risk. As I said, the rand has moved almost 1.5% just in the afternoon session on no SA news. It's just on what these EM risk on risk offers. So it feels like getting near a bit of a capitulation point.
Good. Okay. The US 10-year yield on that note is 165 and a bit, and it was 175 and a bit a week ago. So it's pulling back, but it's still got that feeling that it wants to go higher. It's sort of straining at the leash. What else have we got, Nick? The S&P futures are suddenly up 0.2%. But when you look at the S&P at 39.38, which is the futures price, and the high, I think, has been in the 39.60s, it went above the old high, came back below the old high, and it's not moving anywhere. And as I've said to a number of commentators, is this a base forming for a move to the upside, or is it a top forming for a move to the downside? This is the key question for 2021, I think.
It is. But I do think the markets like these round numbers, and I think they wanted to trade 4,000 before it falls back. So, I mean, if I was going to back the trade, I wouldn't be shooting until it retests 4,000. I think it's probably due a reversal, but it is behaving sort of when you do have these big swings up and down, and it's been quite a big move, Lindsay. I mean, it's gone from, as you said, a high of, let's call it 39.75 or thereabouts, back down under 3,900. It's had about a 100-point swing on the S&P. In the last couple of days.
Yes.
So again, it's got this sort of seismic activity at the top where it either needs to break higher or sort of break lower. And as I said, you know, 2 seconds ago, I think we're heading near the sort of reflection point of something going to happen.
And when the oil price is doing what it's doing and the dollar is doing what it's doing, I mean, you can't have such big indicators and such big influences on the market doing what they're doing without the actual market. The stock market, not reacting. It has to react.
It has to react. And if you're a mathematical quant, which I certainly
am,
but I'll tell you this, a mathematical quant.
A quant, okay.
If you were like one of these super intelligent quant traders,
which I'm not,
the maths don't add up. You've got the volatility has gone through the roof, yet the implied volatility on the underlying equity options is hitting a new low. That doesn't add up. That, for me, that is a screaming sign of complacency when you actually are having wild swings. So your real, the difference between implied vol and real vol is wider than it's ever been, which tells me that it's just be careful. It's like a little bit of a, it's flashing amber, let me just say that.
Nick, let's have a look at the top five major moves on the upside and downside on the JSC. There's something that I can't even begin to speak about because it's got a new code. But anyway, it's Montauk, I think. And then I've got Standard Bank, nil paid letters or something, also up very well. But anyway, the proper stocks. Rennet up 4.3%. Quilter, you know what I feel about that, up 4.1%. And Richemont up 2.9%. On the downside, Hammerson down 9.8%, Life Healthcare is a 5% loser, AngloGold Ashanti is 4.7% down today, Glencore 4.25%, and Old Mutual, after its results from yesterday, I think it was, or was it last week? I can't remember now because of the public holiday. Anyway, 4.1% weaker. Anything outside of those that have caught your eye?
Yeah, can we talk about one of the stocks you've mentioned? I think we both professed we quite like the story, is Cashbuild.
Love the story.
I see it just hit a it's back up again. It's almost back up at 52-week high. I've got it moving 4.25% on the session. Closed at 320 rand per share. That's not sort of far away from its pre-pandemic level of 345. So like the story and the amount of time I'm spending in sort of DIY stores after buying a house, I can sympathize with why this thing would do well.
DIY means do it yourself. Do you do it yourself?
Mm.
Do you?
Most of the stuff, yeah.
Like what?
I was painting.
Putting up shelves and things.
Bookshelf. Yeah, putting up shelves, painting stuff, hanging stuff, that sort of thing.
Okay, I'm sort of in awe of you now.
I can be a picture hanger for someone.
I can't even put petrol in my car if I did have a car, but I don't.
cash build up 38% year to date.
And very
good. I just think it's a good story, and it's nice to see it back on the leaderboard.
Yes, it is. It's very good to see that a share that was 150 20 years ago, won around 50 probably 20 years ago, maybe even less, but anyway, is now trading at whatever it is. Just give us the price, please.
320 rand a share.
Just got to pick those stocks when they start to. This is one thing that I bemoan, and that is that the JSE is not an incubator for new stocks anymore. You don't say, "Oh, look at this thing. This is just starting to list on the JSE," because listings are scarce. And even if there were listings, there'd be some convoluted company that's doing something that it's already doing, rather than a startup listing on the JSE at a rand or 2 rand a share. We haven't had that sort of environment for ages, Nick.
I know, and it's difficult to figure out why, because I mean, I'm a big supporter of the JSE and the local shares, and I think it's some fantastically run companies.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just an environment where, and I think this is going to be my excuse for why I don't think we're seeing more. Maybe the our friends the JSE can tell us otherwise, but your cost of raising, your cost of getting capital, raising money in the last couple of years has been easy. You know, interest rates in South Africa are sitting at multi-decade all-time lows. Raising money overseas, you can raise, I mean, it's negative interest rates. So as a company, if you needed to raise funds, you don't have to go to the bourse to do it. So, I mean, there's two reasons you list on an exchange like Big Stock Exchange, and they are the one reason is because you want to exit. So normally a founding member or someone wants to create a bit of transparency, and they want to sort of offload their shares and they list. And the other reason, of course, is to come to the capital markets, as the name implies, Lindsay, is to raise capital. So I don't know if it's more indicative of the environment we're in, where the ability to raise capital, where interest rates where they are globally, it's cheap. You don't need to come to the markets. Maybe when we return to normal and rates start to increase and people need to raise capital, that come back to the public markets, because it is a shame. I think there's some fantastic opportunities, and I know of some great sort of private companies that would do very well to list on our exchange and show a little bit of support.
Okay, let's have a look at the closing JSE indices on this shortened trading week, the first day of a shortened trading week. How did we do? Not so well, I don't think.
No, it's a bit of a rubbish start to this four-day week. Down 0.9%, not great. 65,318, drifting further and further away from almost 69,000, if you remember, a week or two ago. Yeah, so down 592 points. Top 40 as well, companies index down 0.86%. 59,000, look at that, we're back under 60. 59,793. We have been led lower, but once again, financials, which is very surprising, considering the rand is 1469.
Yes.
The rand was down 1.5% at its worst this morning. It's now positive against the dollar by 10 pips. Huge, huge swing. Anyway, that's a head scratch for me. Financials off the back of that makes no sense, but down 1.31%. Industrials down 1.42%. Basic materials were 2% weaker. Healthcare, Aspen was under a lot of pressure. They already mentioned that. That was down almost 4%, Lindsay. So healthcare index down 3.1% off the back of that. A little bit of green on the screen. Tech shares, we had our friends at Prosus and Naspers finally having a bit of love. They closed up 1.25% that index. And consumer signals 1.67%. percent better. And if you look at value trading of those monster last few days, we had again, this is very strange, 28.3 billion value traded.
That's amazing. And can I tell you something else as well? The South African 10-year bond yield. We've spoken about the US bond yield, which is very US-centric. But at one stage today, it yielded 9.63%. It's currently 9.36%. This is an amazing swing. You're talking about the rand, but the bonds have gone all over the place today.
I saw a note by one of our clever guys on the desk who said that there was, I'm trying to read it, he said, National Treasury would like to announce the reduction in weekly nominal auction levels in line of 2021 auctions. So these are bond auctions.
Yes.
Fixed income government bond auction will be decreased by 1.8 million from 6.6 billion to 4.8 billion effective, blah, blah, blah. And his comment was that basically this is having a big impact on the bond linkers. They're bringing, you know, they're bringing less to the market. So less is, I guess, scarcity. I don't know quite why, because they need the money. But anyway, that's what I'd put down those big moves. But, you know, as you said, 30 pips on that move. I mean, that's 5%, a 5% move.
It really is very big indeed. Nick, interesting times. I get the sense that there's some churning, some jostling, some shifting going on at the top or maybe even the bottom of the market because it's going to go up. I don't know. But anyway, thank you so much for your time. That's Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.